been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we discuss anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, if you weren't talking about the Baltimore Ravens before Sunday, now you are. The Baltimore Ravens made a statement, beating up those New England Patriots and welcoming Tom Brady and the Patriots to Baltimore, and then quickly kicking them out of town with a loss. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm fantastic. You missed my intro. You didn't introduce me right. It's Josh, body built by Pizza Hut.
Body built by... Let me tell you, I can't believe Judon got away with that. Body built by Taco Bell. If that dude doesn't get some sort of endorsement with Taco Bell,
well,
or
did you
something...
see the shirt that just came out? I posted the link on the Call Facebook.
Yeah, he's going to have a t-shirt out, but I'm shocked like the NFL was like, no, you can't promote Taco Bell on a national televised game. Come on. But, hey, he got it in there. Body built by Taco Bell. I guess the guy really does enjoy himself some tacos.
Well, he went there. I saw his Instagram. He actually went there, and he gave the full lowdown of the story. And how much you want to bet today around the Baltimore metro area, Taco Bell was in full swing breakfast, lunch, and dinner today.
I
almost stopped, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I packed my lunch today like a good boy.
There you go. I had a health HR lunch today, so I had to be extra
healthy.
The body
built by healthy lunch HR.
Yeah, so HR, made sure we all were eating right.
Judon, man, isn't that crazy how he kind of – you remember how the Sunday Night Football in the first one, it was Suggs, Boston Hardy University? It was – so he's kind of taking the role of Suggs in that regard, right?
And did you see him after the game? ESPN was doing an interview. I think was it Earl Thomas?
No, it was Mark Ingram.
It was Mark Ingram. That's right. Mark Ingram. That's right. And he was behind Mark Ingram dancing the entire time.
The new class clown, I swear.
Well,
yeah. I think Suggs definitely corrupted him.
This kind of shows you, though, what a win against the Patriots, a big win at home, means for the team and the city and the coaching staff and us. I mean, this has been different, I got to say. I mean, going to work on Monday, interacting with my normal coworkers, it was always like, did you watch the game? What did you think of this? What did you think of that? This time around, I mean, everybody was like, oh, I know you watched that game. What do you think? The whole town right now is buzzing. The team is buzzing. And you can see guys like Judon dancing in the background. I mean, that's pretty much just a metaphor for Baltimore at this moment, because Baltimore is singing and dancing right now. They feel like winners again.
Right. And it's almost like, what does that do for the town, right? I mean, and that's what winning does, right? You know, obviously, if we were – 0-something or 2-6, no one would really be talking about it. But what winning cures it all, right? But I don't know if you got a chance to, review what Mark Viviano of WJZ said. I posted it on the Call, and I'm trying to go back to that post to locate it, because it was actually pretty awesome. Did you get a chance to read that, of what he said?
Yeah, he kind of said that, it doesn't matter where you go. Yeah, go ahead, go for it.
Yeah, and this is Mark Viviano tweeting this out. Later that night, says, reminded of the lift of local sports team can bring to a city, from my kid's school to the coffee shop, grocery store, and people I see on the street. Everybody wants to talk about Ravens beating the Patriots. People smiling and feeling good. There's power in that. That speaks volumes, because you know how it was. Remember, you said last year, you alluded to it earlier this year, right? Where you were like, "Where's the Ravens playmakers? Where's this? Where's the Purple Friday caravan?" And you said like last year. Remember when we got to the playoffs, and you know, and Weddle was still on the team, right? And you went to, was it Mistrelli's Cafe, and got the Weddle's pancakes and right. all that. Like, it's like the stenciling and all that. Like, there's hype in that, and it was the same for me. Like, obviously, I knew everybody, and everybody's trying to call me, text me. And I'm like, I have no voice. Like, I slept most of the day anyway because I was exhausted, you know, obvious reasons. But, you know, and I had to respond to everybody late. But it's a buzz, man, especially doing something like that against an opponent like that on a national stage and following up what they were saying we're going to do and doing it soundly. They didn't win by one. They didn't win by four like we predicted, and how about that? My prediction at least was the 24-20. I got the 20 spot right for the Patriots, but the Ravens scored 37 in that fashion, and just the way it was. And I say, I remember you saying you were at the beach, right? Did you get a chance to get home and watch the whole thing?
I did. So for those of you that aren't local here in Maryland, we have this Chesapeake Bay Bridge is how you kind of connect the eastern shore with the rest of the state.
I thought you swam it.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be cool.
Or a boat at least, right?
You know, I mean, that would probably be quicker at this point. But the bridge is under construction right now. They're kind of fixing two lanes that are falling apart. 75% of the bridge is patches. So they decided to do all this construction. It's going to be a two-year-long process. Well, they forgot that, you know, people use the bridge for a living, and you know, that's how you get across things. So last time I used it, it was a 6-hour commute from the beach to my house, and normally it's about 3 hours. So this time around, I decided to go through all of Delaware. I traveled the entire state of Delaware and then crossed over to 95 South and made my way home. Now, there was a backup on 95 South due to, I'm guessing, maybe some stadium traffic and a lot of state troopers shooting radar, but I was able to get home in about 3.5 to 4 hours, so a little bit better than the 6, but I got a chance to come home, relax for maybe 1.5 hours, and then actually get to enjoy the game and watch some football from my couch. So that was a lot of fun to see. It was
and
a
you
good...
stayed awake?
I stayed awake the whole time.
Wow. The round of applause.
That's right. This old man here, he stayed awake as long as he could. He watched the whole game, watched the Channel 11 broadcast after the game. I was looking for you on the news. Every time there's a sporting event going on, I see you on the news. When the Caps won the Stanley Cup, I saw you on the news. So
that's right. Well, I tell you this, I didn't get on the news, but I actually was at Jimmy's Famous Seafood Sale Goat that day, and right off the bat, I actually had my photos taken and with one of the photographers there, and I've had some pictures out there floating around. So, and I'm sure I'm on somebody's social media because the bat suit was in full force on Sunday Night Football, and let me tell you, a lot of people are taking some pictures with me, so I know I'm out there somewhere. So probably maybe Google Ravens. I have a new name now. I'm Ravens Batman. That's my new name. It's hey, it's Ravens Batman. Can I take a picture? So that's my new name now, Ravens Batman. So
I think you need a fan page on Facebook now.
Like Bat Dad's got, right?
Yeah. Or like even like Captain Defense, he's got his own page. Yep. I think you need something like that.
I might have to get that started. You're right. And maybe just post all my game photos there and maybe have a certain spot where I do that. But no, everybody loves it. And I busted out the gauntlets that lit up and everybody was loving it. It was the.
Were you able to get into the game with those?
No, no harm, no foul. No, it was easy. Well, it's funny because I walk, you know, I go to the same gate every game. Like it's tradition. Like I don't waver. Even if my friends are like, come to this game. And no, I got to go to this gate. It's just the way it is. It's just tradition. I'm weird. And I know they all see me and all that. So I walked through the metal detector. It went off. And I'm like, oh, it's probably the gauntlets because I said there's a – and I showed him. I said there's a battery powering it because of the LED lights. And the guy was like loving it. He's like, that's cool. And he goes, well, I'll take them off, laying them on a table, and I'll walk right back through. No issues. And it's like, yep, that was it. So I got there, and then a lot of the staff members took a picture with me going in and coming out after the win. I couldn't barely talk, and they were trying to flag me down. They're like, Batman, take a picture with me. So I got in a group with like 3 or 4 of the staff members, took a big old selfie there, and it was great, man. And I've seen people every time I go up the escalators in the club level, there's always cameras going on. So, no, it's pretty cool, but no, it was great.
And even though the game was on Sunday night, Josh, man, you had a good time. You actually started a little bit earlier than normal, and you started celebrating this Ravens game on Saturday. So what were you up to?
Oh, I definitely was up to some good shenanigans, man. Met the crew up for Jimmy Seafood, as we did Saturday night. As we discussed, our good friends from Ohio came in for this game. The Howards, got Dusty, Justin, and then their friend Will, and then their dad Howard. He didn't make the trip to Jimmy's. He was tired from the trip, but they made it down. Dustin, Justin, and Will got to meet Will. He's actually, came down his first experience, so we were getting to share that with him, share the Jimmy's experience with him, and then got him excited for the whole stadium experience, saying you're in for a treat. And I just want to give a special thanks to their hospitality, and it just means the world, man, that we have good friends and good listeners out there that support us in the show. And I couldn't thank them enough. And you know, I don't think this is a secret, but I certainly just wanted to get this out there that they took care of my meal for me. So I wanted to give a special thanks to Howard for doing that. They didn't have to. I was more prepared to get my end up, but hey, I had a great meal. Starting Jimmy's double dip, right? I had Jimmy's on Saturday night, did the tailgate on Sunday. I just couldn't say from the bottom of my heart how much that means to me of them doing that and taking care of it. It was great fellowship with them, talking about, the trip, but not only that, but just the Ravens preview and what to expect for tomorrow's game or Sunday night's game, I should say, and just meeting Will and just creating good friends and just good fellowship. I just want to give a special hearty shout out to them. I wish Howard would make the trip. I know they sat below me down near the tunnels. They had prime seating, lower level, right next to where the intros were. So I know with those intros and that game, I talked to them on Messenger, and they said they had an absolute blast. What a game to be at, right? And makes the trip even much more special. With that regard, I just, again, want to give a special shout out. And, dude, we always have listeners coming in, and I know we got to give some, the credit where credit's due. And I'm happy that the call can connect us near and far to some good friends. And, again, couldn't thank them enough from the bottom of my heart.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. That's really awesome to hear. And that's why the call has some of the best listeners around. And it's awesome that, the Ravens and football in general can bring people together like that and share common interest. And that's absolutely fantastic. I know these guys have been around since close to the beginning of the show so many years ago. So thank you guys for being loyal listeners, and thanks for taking care of Josh. And wow, that's really amazing to hear that they took care of your meal and you got to have a good time with them on Saturday. So that's awesome. Ravens Nation worldwide, nothing better than that.
The festivities started early for me, man. I got down there a little before 3:00, did Jimmy's Famous Seafood's tailgate. It always is a blast going down there, man. It was an absolute blast. And the legend, Ed Reed, was there. He came right to our tent. I got to meet him once again, and he had the cigar in his mouth as usual, celebrating, and it was a great, great celebration. And I don't know if you saw the highlights of that, but Jimmy Seafood blessed Ed Reed's foundation with a $75,000 donation. That was amazing.
I saw that. That's quite a feat. $75,000 is great. And like Ed Reed said, all of that money that the community helped raise, $75,000 is going right back into the community to those in need in Baltimore. So that's absolutely fantastic.
That's what he said. That's right. He said that on the stage. He kind of said that. He goes, hey. He goes, even though it's got my name on it, he goes, this doesn't touch any. I don't touch any of this. He goes right back out. So he's doing great things for us, and it was great to see the GOAT. And, he formerly always gave the other GOAT, Tom Brady, who played that night, some fits. And I heard they met up before the game and kind of had the exchange there. And Brady was all smiles, happy to see Eddie. I'm sure he was happy not to see him on the field. But other players that night gave him nightmares. And I tell you what, man, from the get-go, I don't know what you saw on TV, and my Facebook Live was kind of blurry. I don't know what was up with that, because when I was recording it was clear, but I don't know if you heard about the intros. They shut off all the lights for the intros. It was pitch black, and it was amazing.
I'm
going to do that same thing for a Thursday night, I'm sure.
It was a real blackout on this night.
They kind of did it, right? The white pants, but still, it was they had black jerseys, so we'll take it.
Right.
It was a last minute change up. Like an hour before, I saw some tweets going out, and they were like, "Oh, it's not really a true blackout. They're wearing white pants." I'm like, "White pants? Where'd that come from?" I said, "Maybe they didn't get the laundry done or something. I don't know."
But you brought up that Brady and Ed Reed saw each other. I don't know if you've seen the clip or not, but it actually was pretty funny. Brady was coming towards the field for, I guess, it wasn't, I don't know if it was start of the game or if he was just going out in the field and practicing a little bit. But he saw Ed Reed in the hallway, and he goes, "Ah, there he is. Why'd they invite you here? Here's my kryptonite. They invited my kryptonite." And he went up to Ed Reed. They hugged each other, asked how each other were doing. And he's like, "Of course they're going to have you here tonight. You're the guy. You're my kryptonite." So it was kind of cool to see Ed Reed and Tom Brady kind of, you know, laughing about things and kind of showing the respect to each other. That was, I mean, really fun. You don't see that side of Tom Brady very often, so it was good to see.
You don't, and it was kind of funny you bring that up too. I mean, it's kind of great because we know the outcome of the game, right? Maybe the kryptonite worked because Brady didn't have a good performance and his team didn't, as obviously they lost, but maybe that was the whole part of the plan, right? Superman got the kryptonite, but and then obviously me as Batman was there. Maybe it was really truly Batman versus Superman, right?
There you go.
But he was kind of like that with Lamar. If you saw the exchange pre-game and even post-game, Brady went up to Lamar and he was kind of just like giving pleasantries, and he said, "I'm a big fan. You're doing great things." Like, he was actually excited to meet Lamar and kind of complimented him in a right. And again, you know, I know Lamar's our new GOAT right now and just doing great things for the Ravens, but, you know, it's greatness versus greatness. I mean, it was kind of – I mean, there's 20 years apart from him, and Lamar said something like he was like 5 years old or four – like he was a little kid when Brady first came out and into the league and won his first Super Bowl, and now he's playing against them. You know, that's like – it's really crazy just to see that full circle and the new generation versus old generation. And, you know, and it just was an all. And even after the game, you know, he said, "You played great, you know, good job." Like, he kind of complimented him. He wasn't the pouty Tom Brady, as we all know, and run and hide. He went midfield and gave his respects and saying, "Hey, you guys did it," and gave it. So you're seeing that now, I guess, later in Brady's career. Before, right in his prime, you probably saw that fire and that, you know, that little cocky side, right? You saw that, you know, where he always ran and pouted and didn't really. Now it's like, as he become more mature, plus, right, he's got a family, you know, so, you know, you're seeing Brady also mature in his ranks and the greatness there. So, but all in all, it was just from the get-go, man, the Ravens smacked him in the mouth and led wire to wire. Didn't expect it. I mean, everybody was talking about this defense, right? The boogeyman, ooh, you know, and hell, they can rival the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens. But hey, pump the brakes, because their meat of their schedule started with Baltimore. And we joked with the Patriot fans the whole year, saying, you have a soft schedule, you don't play any team until us, and you don't really play a playoff team from last year until us. And I said, wait till week 9, wait till Sunday night, it's going to be a war. And the Ravens from the get-go punched them in the mouth. Brandon, I've never seen a first quarter go so smoothly and so dominant. The Ravens held the ball for, what, 12 or 13 minutes of that first quarter? It was unheard of. And the way they started, it was unpatriotic, like on the defense, right, or special teams. They held us down there, and again, we were frustrated. The Ravens going to kick another field goal inside the red zone, and couldn't finish the drive. But a mistake, the first mistake. This game was full of the very critical mistakes back and forth, right? The first misstep for the Patriots. They let out. They got offsides on what, a fourth and four or fourth and three, gave us the first down. And Lamar, in his own regard, had called a great play and basically moonwalked right into the end zone untouched for the lead. And the Ravens scored with just over 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. And then the Patriots get the ball. It's bonkers in that stadium. And the Patriots go 3-and-out. You couldn't start a game any better against them like that. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it was an absolutely fantastic. I mean, the Ravens were dominant. They never took their foot off the gas. It was absolutely fantastic to see. I was watching some clips on YouTube yesterday, and they were talking. I mean, everybody was talking about this Ravens-Patriots game. And one of the announcers on FS1 said, "This is the first time in a very long time that Tom Brady has looked across the field and saw someone better than him." And that's absolutely true. Tom Brady looked across the field, saw Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was the better quarterback on Sunday, 100%.
Well, what about all the Peyton Manning bouts?
He said this is the first time in a long time, Tom Brady.
Tom. Oh, okay. I misrepresented that. Okay, sorry about that. See, that makes sense. And you're right. Lamar outplayed Brady. How many times did Joe Flacco do that in his career here? Where, you know, they just outshined Brady, even in the 2011 title game where they clipped us and won. You know, Flacco outplayed him on his fast sheet, just didn't win the game. You know, the team didn't win the game. But, you know, and that's – it's just amazing to see that. You know, everything was in question, right? Can Lamar handle the big stage? Is Bill Belichick going to neutralize what he does best? There was all these questions we had, and we addressed those, right? We were like, no, he takes away what you do best. And I thought Lamar was going to throw, you know, more or so. And, I mean, obviously he did. He had more passing and rushing. But it's just the game came to him. It's natural to see it. And there was big plays made, and you know, there's a couple of key points in this game. But how about just getting off to the start, the fast start? They start off fast for one. We touched on it in the preview, right? We said the Browns gave us the blueprint to beating them, even though the Browns lost, thankfully, and they did lose again. And we'll cover that at the end of the show and wrapping everything up here for the AFC North. But you know. Nick Chubb, I know he had the mistakes, right? And the Ravens also did it again with the fumbles. But Nick Chubb ran all over the Patriots defense, and they were vulnerable. Going into the game, even though the Patriots overall were number one, they were number 12th in the league against the run. So they're right there mid-pack. So they're very vulnerable. And what do the Ravens do best, man? With Ingram, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, and ultimately Lamar Jackson, they run. They run very well, and again, as looking at the game, they had well over 200 yards of rushing in this game, and they hit him right in the mouth from the get-go. Lamar was running, and then Ingram had some incredible runs, the long run. Gus Edwards had the touchdown run. That was the blueprint to set everything up, and there was a couple of key moments right on the first drive. Remember, it was like we almost couldn't start this way, right? We could have almost went three and out. It was third down, and Lamar found Marquise Brown. Welcome back, Marquise. He found him for a crucial first down catch, right? Mm-hmm. And that was key number one. And if you recall, going to 2 weeks ago, back to the Seattle game, what was the crucial moment in that game? Remember?
What, the Seattle game?
Yeah, remember the crucial moment there?
Was it what, Lamar, give me the ball?
The fourth down. Yeah, that one. So if you remember, it was – I know we're going to be all over here, but just fast-forming the game a little bit. It was 24-20, right?
Okay.
And the Ravens had – it was fourth down. They were just over midfield. I think it would have been a really long field goal, probably like 50-something for Tucker. Obviously, it's in his range. And it was fourth and four. Ravens stall. I personally thought they should have kicked it there and saying, okay, extend the lead by seven. It's a one-score game. The Patriots, I don't think they would go for two and try to get the lead, so maybe best to tie, right? And they line up to go for it, and you can see they didn't even move. You can see Lamar shaking his head and nodding and saying, we're going for it. And I said, they're going for it, and everybody's getting excited. I'm like, shush. How about that another crucial play where – Lamar threw it, and it was a first down. If my memory serves correctly, it was a blur. Did Nick Boyle catch that for a first down? Was it Nick Boyle? It was the tight end. I think it was Nick Boyle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was Nick Boyle caught the first down. So I just want to break that down play. In accumulating these last 2 weeks of these huge wins, how about Harbaugh trusting Lamar to lead the offense to get it done? This time, it calls number, right? It's fourth and four. But how about the big-time feel and the game feel? How many times have we been on Harbaugh for mismanaging the game or mismanaging the feel and all that? How about the feel of the game over the last 2 weeks where it was like, you know what? We had a 17-point lead squandered. It's a 4-point lead. We need to go for it now. And they went for it at the right time, called the right play, and it was on. And that was another crucial play that led to the score. And they ultimately scored a touchdown on that play and extended the lead even further. So it's just, you know, that's the key moments that we're talking about right there, right? It's just, you know, cumulatively, you know, just looking over the last two games, that's the moments, right? That's the moments that makes champions and leaders. And couldn't gush enough about that play call, the execution. They got it done. Personally, man, I held my breath. I'm like, oh my God. And then finally, when he caught it for the first down, I exhaled and was like, okay, it's on. And they finished the job and got the score, and that was it. And then also because there was a crucial moment, the defense just came off the field, right? The Patriots scored it. It was 23-14, and they scored 7 to pull it within 4. And the defense was gassed. And if you remember, the Ravens moved down there quickly, but then would have stalled. The defense needed a rest, and that was the X factor, because not only did they convert to keep the drive alive to score, but they also gave the defense much needed rest for the stretch run of that game. That was the breaker. The other one was the you remember how the Patriots were always scoring defensive touchdowns here, like left and right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think they got one. The other defense got one. How about he had another big time play? This is the second game in a row. Marlon Humphrey, baby. Scoop fumble for the touchdown, 70 yards, man. How about that? What a play. That was another turning point in the game.
So many people emerging from this game. Marlon Humphrey, who we've known is a fantastic talent, he continues to show it this season. So I completely agree with you. Marlon Humphrey, one of the stars here on defense. But let's talk a little bit about Nick Boyle. This was his first career touchdown in this game up against the Patriots. And like you said, Belichick likes to, you know, take away things that work for his opponents. So I think, you know, he knows Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews are a pair. They work well together. But for this game, it seems like Lamar, Coach Harbaugh were ready for it, and they were ready to let Nick Boyle shine. I mean, Nick Boyle was a target plenty of times for Lamar Jackson, and he was relatively completely open, uncovered by the Patriots. So while the Patriots were targeting some of Lamar's favorite targets, he's got another guy, Nick Boyle, who really was able to show, you know, there's a reason why they re-signed him this past offseason, put a lot of faith in him. He's coming out and being an absolutely exceptional tight end for this team.
He has, man, and it was definitely a solid signing at the time, and he's proving even more so every week. And if you recall, I had a chance to meet him earlier this year, and it was a great interaction with Nick. He's always a nice guy. I met him twice this season already. So I met him at the draft party with Marquise Brown, and then I met him at autograph signing in the mid-year. So it's great, right? Just to see him emerging. And you know what's even better about his schemes is we get it, right? He's overshadowed with the play of Mark Andrews, who's becoming a beast of his own. And then Hayden Hurst was solid play in the back end. Obviously, we're going to see a little bit out of it, but obviously he's in there scheming, running, run blocking, I should say. And then obviously he's caught a few passes here and there. But what's even better is the schemes is when Nate Boyle's brought in, because he's not that threat. They feel like he's going to be that run-blocking tight end, and that's why they kind of re-signed him to help out in the run game. So it was kind of like under the radar, right, because they schemed for it, and they weren't probably ready to, because it's not like he was catching touchdowns like Mark Andrews, right? So when he went out and had a one-on-one coverage wide open there in the flat, it was a no-brainer play, and it was one of those sneaky plays. It was kind of like that play that you could probably say Belichick was out-coached on, because he's like, you know what? You know, we're going to show you that we're going to put our run blocking tight ends in, right? But hey, they can catch touchdown passes too. And there's another X factor where you just never know what's going to happen with this offense and where they might go.
So let's talk a little bit about Lamar. Let's rename the call the Lamar Show. What did you think of when he went for a touchdown and he kind of skipped into the end zone and waited and had the ball cross the line at the very last minute? What did you think of that? I saw some people online kind of upset about that he was kind of showboating. And a part of me is kind of like, yeah, he's having fun. But the other part of me is, look, the game just started and you're up against the Patriots. You know, they never say die. Look at what they did in the Super Bowl against the Falcons. It did, you know, make me a little uneasy. I'm like, don't give them any more motivation than they already need to come after you. So what did you think of him kind of skipping into the end zone? Was it fun or was it kind of dumb to do at that point?
No, I didn't think anything of it. I loved it. I even someone said, "Oh, he's high stepping." I love it, man. You have fun out there. Marlon kind of did the same thing, but I don't know if you even heard that. Marlon did the same thing.
That's
he watched
true.
The highlight. He stopped right at the goal line and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. I'm not going to harp on it just because I only count a little bit because we've seen some fluke things happen in the NFL where players celebrate prematurely and there's a fumble
right.
Or what if Marlon got careless? I mean, he was holding the ball out, which is fine, right? He had a grip on it. You know, I didn't like the way he was holding it, but hey, you know, we're not playing the game right. We could sit there and break it down if there's any negatives. But at the end, Marlon kind of like stopped at the goal line, kind of stepped over, but you can see him. He cradled the ball because he felt a defender around him. But at that point, it's like, dude, the defender could have came around and tomahawked that ball. And if that goes out of bounds, it's a touchback. So, you know, you just don't want anything stupid like that. Just get the score, then celebrate. You know, And it's fine, right? You know, people are going to, you know, and again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? There's no right or wrong here, but I do think it's petty if they're going to focus in on that, especially the first score of the game after the Ravens drew it offside and then, you know, scored first like that. Like, that's the last thing I'm thinking about. Like, oh, you better stop showboating. I mean, how many times did Deion Sanders do it? Yeah, Lamar's not a Hall of Famer. Deion is, but, you know, do it. You know, he was wide open. There was not a defender around him. And by all means, let Lamar be Lamar. He's going to do it. And again, whether you like it or not, he might do it again. So, if it's one of those things where it's part of the game, right? But again, you got to do it smartly. I don't think it would be. And I see your point about like the motivation, like, okay, don't rub it in too much because you might piss them off a little bit. They're the Patriots. They're already mad, right? You just took the ball. You know, they got offsides. They just took 7 minutes off the clock and you just scored a touchdown on them. And this whole game, you know, they never trailed this year. So that was the first time. So, I mean, they're already mad. So, you know, I've always said let him play. He didn't taunt anybody. He didn't wave the ball in somebody's face. He didn't point. He didn't give him a middle finger. He didn't dance lewdly. You know, he's fine. You know, he did a play action rollout. He was wide open. He high stepped to the end zone, and I loved it, man. It just was electric, and it just popped everything off, and then some, man. It just was a fantastic show overall. But you know, just got to give it to the kid. He's just doing special things for us right now. But and going from that first touchdown to his last touchdown, how about his buddy, man, Orlando Brown Jr., willing him over the end zone and yanking him over there, man. That was awesome to see.
Talk about putting the team on your back. I think Zeus Jr. kind of did that as well, pulling his quarterback into the end zone where he had to be.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
And, yeah, like you said, I mean, Lamar going into the end zone in the first quarter, you know, don't give him any more motivation. I was a little worried at the time, but I think that's why, you know, I'm not in the NFL and Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson had all the confidence in the world that his team could get it done. Now, if the team were to lose, then maybe we'd have a different conversation. But when you can back it up the way that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have done, I mean, yeah, they have every right to do what they're doing. To celebrate the way they're celebrating. And I've got nothing against Lamar Jackson for doing what he did. The guy's having fun out there. And what have we said all year, the biggest difference between this Ravens team, the one in the last couple years, it looks like they're having fun. The last couple years did not look like they were having fun out there. So have fun, go for it. And I mean,
well, remember the Eagles game, or not the Eagles game, the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl that year, you know, the defense, you remember all the celebrations and
yeah.
One comes to mind where the whole defensive unit was kind of doing some like dance. I don't know what it was. That's fun to me. And you see it with the Ravens, right? They always pose like the posse, especially with the defense. I love that kind of stuff. It makes, it's like how, you know, how always Brett Favre celebrated when he scored a touchdown. He'd always run down with his team with his finger in the air. And that to me is always bringing it back like a kid. Like, man, I scored. Like, it's exciting. Scoring's exciting. It shouldn't be just, okay, cross the goal line and give the ball. It's not boring. You scored a touchdown in the NFL. It's tough sometimes.
Well, so I mean, did you see
Justin Tucker celebrate, right?
Right.
How many times do we have a gif of Justin Tucker celebrating? So, I mean, come on, guys.
what about Wink Martindale celebrating with the team?
That was epic, right?
He put the he had the hood on. He pulled the chain out. Like, he was all ready.
See, And this is the kind of thing we're talking about, right? The makeup and the camaraderie of this team, it's a tight-knit family, man. And this is the kind of stuff that people don't get, right? When it seems like this close and the camaraderie, it's almost really tough to beat that kind of thing because everybody's gelling. And there's no rift. There's no finger pointing. There's no, you know, you suck and you're not holding your end of the bargain. It's everybody's feeding off of each other.
Yeah, and that's what you want. It's a team atmosphere. You want everybody to enjoy themselves, and this is what a winning team looks like. So, it was just wild to see this Sunday's game and see how the Ravens never lost the lead. They were constantly in control. This was their game, 100%. There were a few moments, though, that kind of that as a fan you got worried and you got scared a little bit. I mean, the fumble and the drop punt. I mean, that definitely could have been a game changer. But the Ravens still, even though that happened, they answered back and were able to continue the lead. And Brady said at the end of the game, you know, 17-point losses is not something we're used to. But the Ravens kind of brought that to town. So what do you think it was this past Sunday? Was it the fact that they were just up against the Patriots? Is this just who this team is now? The fact that they make mistakes, but they're not wallowing in it. They're not getting stuck in it. They're able to come back and still come away with a win. What do you think the special ingredient is for this one?
For everything, especially this one. I think the special ingredient in this win, there's a couple things. The bye week, getting us healthy. Mm. Everybody was back, and I feel like the hype for Sunday night. It was that big time fight feel, and it was just being in the stadium electric. I mean, I was already hoarse before the game started, and I mean, it's just it was that big fight feel. I mean, it almost felt like Super Bowl like, right? And I know the Patriots, and I don't want to say that loosely, like the Patriots fans are being still salty, like, congrats, you won your Super Bowl. I'm like, dude, we're 6-2, like, shut up, losers. But take the loss, but take the L. But, just the tailgating to, you know, leading up, it's a cool, crisp night. It's you know, it's not windy. It's not rainy, you know, and then with the lights and Sunday Night Football's in town and you have, you know, you have the Patriots. They're undefeated. You know, they're the defending champs. You know, it's the last time you see Brady here in Baltimore. And just being there in that atmosphere, and then not only that, but then you got Ed Reed in the house getting his Hall of Fame ring, and I'll get to that as well because that was special. And then, you know, you got Ed Reed in the house, and then you got Ray Lewis in the house, you got Jonathan Ogden in the house, and you got Gold Jackets, you know, Ozzie Newsome and Lenny Moore on the field, and then it's just everything. And then with the intros, the shutting off the lights, to it's just that big time fight feel, and just coming out swinging like that. You know, and I think that was the ingredients for this game. And the bye week certainly helped because we got Peanut back. He was the next factor because he was blitzing. He got a sack on Brady big time. And how about that? And Jimmy Smith, right, coming back and fortifying the secondary with Marcus Peters. You have Earl Thomas, who also made a play, got a pick on Brady. And, you know. And,
did Earl Thomas, didn't he get a sack as well?
Yes, he did. Yes, and if anybody remember, I think he got a sack, but he got pressure where Brady did get rid of it. But if you didn't see the video at the end of the play, Brady and him high-fived each other, kind of like slapped hands, like good play. Like,
that's right, yeah.
He just got the ball out and Earl Thomas hit him. And speaking of that, that's another X factor. How about this kind of build this thing as you go with this defense? Remember the trade deadline, everybody was clamoring for that pass rush and everybody was like, oh, they might get this guy or that guy, or they might get Ngakoue from, you know, Jacksonville, and they might trade to get him. And then remember the trade deadline came and passed, and the biggest splash we made was Marcus Peters, and it proved right. You know, he got the pick six in Seattle, and you know, he was solid for us on Sunday night. But but then you look at it, nothing happened, right? And you're like, okay, well, we need a pass rush, but the Ravens kind of did their own reinforcements. They signed Josh Bynes back. They got LJ Fort, yeah, and they kind of just reinforced that pass rush. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong here, if you're watching a different team, but from the Seattle game, who got pressures and some sacks on Russell Wilson, to the pressures and sacks they got on Brady, they have two formidable opponents, road and home. And I don't know about you, man, but they've gotten some pressures, and you hear the phrase making quarterbacks uncomfortable. That was the mantra of the last month. Like, got to make somebody uncomfortable. You know, you can't win the NFL if they're just back there picking you apart, right? And they made Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, two previous Super Bowl winners and MVPs, uncomfortable. So, and to me, that's refreshing, because that's another X factor of these last two wins in a low with the 4-game winning streak and building this thing, is the pass rush has been there more so than not right now. So that's something that's really positive for us fans, just to really see that blossom and come out of nowhere.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And it's crazy how some things kind of turn out when you were looking at free agency and the draft and everything like that. I mean, who were the big quote-unquote winners at the free agency? Cleveland, I think, is the one that won that round. But what happened there?
Can't do it on paper. And you just can't do it on paper. You just cannot do it on paper. And a media member brought this to light, breaking down the aftermath of Sunday, right? We already know that the Browns lost. They've lost four straight. How much of an anomaly is that, right? The Browns beat us. They were actually beating us 40-18 until Lamar got a garbage time touchdown that Willie needed to pull it to 40-25. So it was a lot closer than, or it should have, it shouldn't have been that close, but it was. And then since that path taken, where we were 2-1 and they were 1-2 and they won to bring us both to even, to tied at 2-2, and they were in first place by half a game with one for 1 week, and then since that loss from us and a win from them, they've lost four straight and we've won four straight, a tale of two different teams going two different totally directions. The Browns look lost. They look like they're going to finish near the bottom of the basement with the Bengals. I mean, between them and the Bengals, state of Ohio only has two whole wins. And it's stinking amazing to see, man. But the media was breaking this down, talking about the Browns and Ravens, Lamar versus Baker. And he said this: in the NFL, you have to have, and I forget who said this, so I wish I could give credit, but it's probably somewhere out there. But not stealing this, I'm definitely reiterating what they said, but I just can't remember who said it. But he said you have to have one of four pillars. You have to have the owner, the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback. And if you look at Baltimore, what they're doing, you know, they got Bisciotti, right? You know, he was groomed by Modell's. He came from the Modell's. You know, he was kind of partnership with them until he took over the team fully. You have Ozzie passing the torch to Eric DeCosta, who's done a crazy good job as GM in his first year, right? And Ozzie, you know, killed it in his last year's GM here. And he's killed it with drafting numerous Pro Bowlers and first two picks Hall of Famers. You can forget that. Ozzie's last pick was Lamar Jackson, or his first last pick, if makes sense, was Lamar. So just setting us up for the future and leaving a legacy, right? And then you have Harbaugh, head coach. He's been here since 2008. He's had all that playoff success with Flacco and Ray Rice coming out of that draft and won the title in 2012. He's been here. He's the third head coach in team history. And then you go from Joe Flacco to Lamar, passing the torch, right? And you look at Cleveland. I mean, I felt like they got their front office guy with John Dorsey, but then it's like the hire head coach is a head scratcher. You have all that talent, but then you have a rookie head coach who's never been a head coach before. That's baffling. And then you can't be consistent when the Browns are constantly turning over quarterbacks and head coaches like it's just last week's flavor of the week, right? It's just like, okay, well, you didn't work out, you're going. When you didn't work out, you're going. You got to be consistent. And that has to make you feel good being a Ravens fan, man, because, yeah, you know, the Ravens didn't sign Landry. They didn't sign Beckham. They don't have Nick Chubb, but they got their own weapons, right? We got Mark Ingram. We got Lamar Jackson. We got Earl Thomas. We got Matt Judon. We have Marquise Brown. We have three solid tight ends. We have Ronnie Stanley, who's a beast. We have Marciano, who's a beast. I mean, we have a lot of playmakers. So, and the Ravens do it well. And there's the differences you're seeing in those franchises and the directions they're taking. And the best text before the game I got was an alert from the Ravens. You know what it said? Two words: full strength. The inactive list was nothing. Everybody was healthy. And at this point, going into game number nine, and in week 10 of the NFL, we don't have, apart from obviously Tevin Young and what happened in the preseason, we don't have any major injuries right now. This team is healthy and they're 6-2. Look out.
6-2, and like you said, the Ravens are still kind of tinkering around, and they made a move, I should say, on their 53-man roster, and they released cornerback Maurice Kanadeh, which I don't think anyone saw that as a surprise. But they brought in D'Anthony Thomas, who is going to be a punt returner and a wide receiver. And we kind of saw what happened at the Patriots with a punt return being missed. I'm not really shocked that they decided to make a move and bring this guy in. Are you?
I'm definitely not shocked at all. I mean, you know, looking over the mistakes, right? You cannot spot the Patriots points, and that game, right? It was 17-0. We made the Patriots punt. Who knows? It could have been 20 or 24-0. It really could have probably been a blowout, right? It wasn't to the factor of Super Bowl 47 lights going out when it was 28-6, but that was the game changer. You know, the lights technically went out for Cyrus Jones because. Dude, what are you doing? I know you fair caught the ball, but if you're going to fair catch it, I just don't understand why I just let it go. Because even though you fair catch it, it doesn't matter. You still give – if you give yourself up on the play when you call a fair catch signal, you still got to catch the ball, Cyrus. You got to catch the ball. And when he didn't do that, gifted them, and that's exactly what everybody was, including me, was saying. It's like, really, that's the only way this team's going to score, and that's the only way they're going to get back in this game because we had them on the ropes dead to rights, and you let them off the hook. They scored 7 right off of that, and then Mark Ingram put the ball on the ground for the second fumble of the evening, and they scored 3. Luckily, they scored 3 off of that, so you give them 10. But what's awesome, though, is the resilience of this team because the Patriots also made mistakes. Remember, they gave us 7 on the special teams offsides, and then they gave us another 7 on the Julian Edelman fumble. So the Ravens won that battle, and it was 2 turnovers apiece, or actually 3, because Tom Brady, and I think we got points off of that one too with the Earl Thomas pick. You know, the Ravens made them pay by putting points on the board and not squandering the possessions that the Patriots get them. And that's what makes good teams great, right? You know, the Patriots also cashed in on ours, but then we did too. Is when you turn a ball over, you score, whether it's a defensive score or the offense gets the ball back and puts it in the end zone. If it's 3, it's ultimately 7. It really hurts you because it's like, man, that could have been a score for the Patriots the other way. So that turned the game around. But Brandon, all in all, the Patriots spot us 14. We spot them 10. But what's even better right there is we gave them 10 points and we still beat them by 17. That's even better. It just makes you feel good because the team overcame that and just didn't make it a factor, right? Now, if it was a close game, 3-point win, then we could sit here and nitpick, right? Oh, well, if we didn't fumble the ball, we could have won by blah, blah. Well, it doesn't matter because we won by 17. You could just really say we could have won by 30. It doesn't matter. But we won by 17. We are 3.5-point underdogs. What more do you want? We just beat Seattle 2 weeks ago by 14 on the road, underdogs. We just underdogs at home, and we just won by 17. You know, so, and we're winning soundly. I predicted a 4-point win, and it was a 17-point win. I thought it was going to be a close game. It really wasn't from the get-go. The Ravens spotted, got 17 points on them at the start. They came flurrying back, scored 13 unanswered, and then the Ravens just came right back and got the knockout punch, and they won by 17 ultimately. So it's like, what more do you want? You know, they're not pretenders right now. They just not only beat a 5-1 Seattle team at the time, they just beat an undefeated team. So right now, no more do you can say, what more do they got to prove? Because they just beat the 2 best teams probably in these conference, not the best teams in these conference. And the Seahawks are balling too, man. And the Patriots 8-1. That one blemish being the Ravens, and it wasn't just any blemish. It was a sound blemish at that. And it caused everybody to question their defense, question if Tom Brady doesn't have anything left in the tank. And there's a lot. And there's a lot of Lamar praise. There's a lot of people going, you know what? Maybe they are for real. They just proved on national stage, and that's even better because they didn't fold, right, Brandon? They didn't fold. You know, they could have easily had one of the worst performances. Lamar could have thrown 4 picks, and everybody went, told you so, wasn't ready. The GOAT couldn't keep up with the GOAT, and the Patriots figured him out. Nope. They just showed them that they ain't scared, and apparently no matter how much you prepare, you can have the best head coach in the league. Couldn't figure him out. He scored 3 touchdowns on him.
Let's spend a couple minutes talking about this Bengals game. The Bengals are, of course, being seen as underdogs in this game. They're coming in as 9.5-point underdogs, which I think is being a little generous. I mean, if If I'm not being too rude, but the Bengals, like you said, are 0-8 right now. I don't see them beating the Ravens this week. The Ravens are coming off two really strong games. Biggest thing is, let's just hope that everyone gets out of this game without an injury. But what do we have to look at right now? Like you said, AJ Green is coming back, and this is the healthiest that he's going to be since the beginning of the season. So what do we have to do to make sure that the Ravens go into Cincinnati and come away with a win and no injured players?
Well, they got to definitely not take them lightly, right? And I heard that in a press conference. John Harbaugh is doing all he can to really preach to it and coach to his team that you can't have that letdown just because they're 0-8. That's the records out the door. First off, is the divisional opponent. Second off, it was a closer game than we thought at home the first time around with Andy Dalton under center. But you have to remember, things have changed. There's a give and take here. You give AJ Green back and you take Andy Dalton out. So on the road, and I know it's a road game, right? And the Ravens have proved that the roads never really fazed them, especially under Lamar, right? But you can't take an opponent like this lightly, especially a rookie quarterback who has not left to prove. And hey, especially after these two quality wins, you don't think that kid's motivated where he's like, hey, they're coming into our house. I get AJ Green back, Mr. Raven Killer, which I'm not too happy about because I really am happy not to see him against this is the first time around. But he's not having any Dalton throw to him, but you just don't know. And Auden Tate really killed us the last matchup, man. And and Tyler Boyd, we already know what he's capable of doing. He's a Raven Killer in his own right. So those receivers, They're not as slouches, man, and they've still got our hands full on Sunday, but we have a secondary to do it, and I'm happy not only did they have AJ Green back, but hey, we got Jimmy's back, we got Marcus Peters on this matchup this time, and it's a rookie quarterback, and if everybody stays healthy and fresh in the task at hand, they should really make this rookie uncomfortable on Sunday, and I expect at least two turnovers for the Ravens defense. Really get after them, and I expect at least four sacks. I'm going to put that out there, a goal for the defense. From me to the defense, two turnovers and four sacks. Guys, make it happen, and I want pressures. And the Ravens do blitz 50% of the time, according to stats, or at least close to that. I think they're in the high 40s, not right at 50%. So they're going to give it to them, and I feel like Lamar against this defense – now, it should ball out for another great performance, but there is something I want to see in this matchup.
Okay.
Now, I know they're going to have the running attack, but especially if they're up big, obviously it'd be great to see Lamar sit and RG3 to get his time, right? Especially if there's a blowout in the making, but the Miami game a long time ago, it feels like. But reverting back to that game, like a bad opponent, I like to see the passing game open up more. Not saying that what the Ravens are doing is wrong or I don't like it, because, I mean, obviously it's working and winning, but – and you've heard it back to Lamar's press conferences. He said he hates running, right? And he only wants to run when he has to or when by design or the defense. He's get the runs that he's doing, it's more or less what we've seen in razzle-dazzle. He's taking what the defense is giving him because they're pressuring him and there's nobody open. He goes through his progressions. He goes, you know what? And I like that. I'd rather have Lamar run it for a gain, especially a first down, than try to force it into an incompletion or a tip ball for a pick, because there was a couple of them on Sunday night where they could have been picked off, tip ball. So, and he had some bad down the line of scrimmage. So I feel like, especially with a bad team like this, like the Dolphins were, in week one, obviously we didn't know how bad they were until we disposed of them and really exposed that, right? Because going into the game, we were all winless, 0-0. But after that game and how big of a blowout it was, I feel like the Ravens, I want them to take shots. I felt like in this game, I kind of wanted that, right? Marquise back, you wanted that play action and throw deep, but against that kind of secondary and against New England, even though they're winning 17-0, you don't want to give them momentum. And you've seen what happened when Tom Brady got frustrated and just chucked the ball up down the field. It was picked off by Earl Thomas, so just waiting for him. So I feel like if the Ravens really execute a game plan here of a good play action or run game, Brandon, I like to see them open up the pass game a little bit more, because we've kind of gotten away from that, right? I feel like, but it's worked. They have a four-game winning streak. They're putting themselves in prime position for not only a dominant divisional title here and a home playoff game, but they could be running in the first-round bye right now. Right now, after week eight of the NFL, or eight games, week nine, the Ravens sit in the driver's seat at number two seed right now, and they have game lead. So, and even after the Chiefs beat us, they're 6-3, we're 6-2, we're a half game better in that regard. So Ravens keep up their winning ways against the Bengals here and move to 7-2. Prime opportunity to really solidify that and really make a case to be maybe 13-3 or 12-4 with maybe one or two losses to go to the end of the year. So the Ravens have it all set up. I just don't want this to be a trap game. I feel like they're going to shut down Joe Mixon. It's going to be, and again, with the Ravens getting out early, I feel like it's going to be on the rookie shoulders and it's going to be one-dimensional. And that's where the Ravens are going to create the drama and the turnovers for him. But I do not want this to be that old trap game. But again, you can't take an opponent lately. You're only as good as your last game. The Ravens were dominant against New England. But, hey, they come out flat against Cincinnati. We're going to be right back to square one going, okay, guys, all right. So they need to really, again, prepare. And I feel like this team's got it, right? We talked about it through the show. The camaraderie, the energy, the focus. They know it's at stake, and they're professionals. And Harbaugh even said it. You know, they're still a divisional opponent, not to be taken lightly, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure a trap game will happen because it's happened before with this team. But, man, I feel like this team's different, and I really hope they prove us wrong on Sunday. And I'm predicting a blowout win, man. I feel like this one's not going to be close. Every time we predict a close game, but this is not the opponent to take lightly. But, again, I feel like they can really dispose of them as a good team should.
All right, so let's talk about it. So you're saying it's going to be a blowout. What's your score going to be?
I'm going to say 31-7.
Wow. All right. 31-7. I agree with you. It's going to be a Ravens win. I also think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be 42-10.
Wow. Okay. We're reaching up there in the upper echelon of scores like the Miami game. I like it. Okay. 42-10, 31-7. Let's see.
All right. So Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call this week?
Absolutely. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At Italian GQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are sharing all kinds of cool stuff on this, everything you can think of. Photos are coming out. People are doing artwork. A little bit of everything is over on our Facebook page. So go over to there, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. And this was actually pretty cool. We had a guy message us who's a listener of the show, Michael Miller, and he told us it was his birthday this past Sunday. Happy birthday, Michael, and that his wife is so awesome that she gifted him tickets to the Ravens-Houston Texans game and the Jimmy's tailgate, and he's also requesting a picture with the Ravens Batman. So I think we got to get that good for him. He's coming to his very first Ravens game. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely, man. Happy belated birthday. I'm definitely excited to see you for the Texans game. We'll be talking. I'll message you, my bro. I'll be down there. I'm still undecided if I'm going to be at the tailgate. A couple of my friends are going. I was just at the last one, obviously, working out my tailgate plans. We're still a little over a week out. But if anything, my lot, Lot H, is directly next door to Jimmy's. It's only a quick stroll down there. So if anything, we'll meet out on the streets, before the game starts. And, if I don't get a chance to be in there, it ain't no sweat, man. We can still link up. And if not, we can always walk over to my tailgate real quick. And we'll definitely make it happen. And I can't wait to meet you, man. And what a pleasant surprise. And, dude, it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. Happy belated birthday, Michael. Thank you for listening to the show. We really hope that us doing the show kind of brings you to your Ravens fandom a little bit closer. So, Josh, before we get out of here, I got to ask you, AEW Full Gear is this Saturday.
I know you're pumped.
I am pumped. It's coming to you live from Baltimore, from the Royal Farms Arena. Big main event match. The AEW World Heavyweight Champion Chris Jericho is up against Cody Rhodes. Who do you think is going to win this matchup? Is it going to be Cody Rhodes or Le Champion? A little bit of the bubbly, Chris Jericho.
Ah, man, I knew you were going to put that on me. That's a tough call because dude, both, it could go either way, man. And, they're both storied guys in the industry. Both are just really fierce competitors in that regard. And I feel it's going to be a war of a championship match, but I have to go with the bubbly and the Le Champion. I got to go with Jericho, man. He's been my boy. And, Y2J, as we always call him, the Walls of Jericho will prevail. And I feel like, Chris is going to retain on this one.
All right. The Painmaker, Chris Jericho, Le Champion.
But by the way, while we're talking about that, because I didn't get tickets, I'm not going. If I wanted to be one to watch it, how could I watch it on pay-per-view? Is it like, can I get on cable or is it streaming somewhere? How do I get that?
I believe you still can stream it if you do have Comcast or Verizon, but they also linked up with TNT. Turner owns BR Live. It's an app and you can download or you can stream the pay-per-view right onto BR Live. So
if that'd be good because I can link it up to my TV.
Yeah, there you go. So if you are a wrestling fan, you haven't checked out AEW yet, they are coming to Baltimore this weekend and you should check that out. I will be there. Let me know if you're going to be there and we can meet up. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great match. Chris Jericho versus Cody Rhodes as the main event. I'm super excited. So Josh, I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. So take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. And obviously you can hear I'm sort of recovered from that. And I just want to close the show with this. I'm probably going to get emotional, and it's rightfully so, but I talked to a lot of friends of mine, a lot of fans that went, and I couldn't be more proud, right? And, you know, I've been a little on the heavy side of calling everybody out, rightfully so, and I was this week. And I'm gonna explain why in closing the show. Obviously, I have season tickets, so I see a lot of things. I see the stadium reactions. I see fan reactions. I see how filled the lots are. I see how the tailgate's going. And you can kind of tell how big of a game it is or how little of a game it is by, you know, if it's traffic, if a lot of people show up. I don't know if it, again, there's a lot of factors, right? It's the Patriots. They're undefeated. It's Sunday nights, the hottest ticket in town, but And I know, you know, and for all those, I don't want to offend anybody, right? I know a lot of friends and family want to go to games and all that. But when I prod about, like, obviously there should be, you know, a surcharge, I'm talking about in general of all those people who I didn't hear, right? You know, I didn't see the ticket request for week one or the Browns game, but now all of a sudden the Ravens are winning and you want a ticket. And I know, and again, just taking my sarcasm for what it is, if you know me, not being serious at all. And I just want to put that out there that obviously I'm joking. I'm like, oh, I charge them, you know, double. I mean a little bit in that regard. There's a little bit of truth to that saying like, hey, you know, I'm calling you guys out saying, if you're really going to support the flock, be all in. Because like me and my buddy Dave, man, we've been passionate about this for a lot of days and years, man, where it's like we want to get back to that. And it was something special to me where, you know, and I hear it all the time, you know, the first part of the game against it's the Cardinals home opener. Suggs is coming back. There's empty seats. You know, it's beautiful day. It's summer day. It's 80 degrees and there's seats there. It's kickoff and you know, the anthem's being played and the stadium looks like it's half filled. And you know, where are the fans at? And Sunday night, I could be more proud of this crowd. And I know Colin Murray alluded to it a little bit for the fans that did show up week one. He said it was loud as hell and it disrupted them. It disrupted them at the end of the game because it said it made them hard to communicate. And I missed that. You know, you can kind of hear my voice. It was put on the call Facebook, the Ravens put out there. Sunday night on the sack of Brady in the first quarter, it reached 117 decibels in that place. It was deafening. And again, I'm an emotional guy when it comes to Ravens. I'm not going to cry at a game unless it was like one of the championships or like, you know, when they won the division title or when they won the Super Bowl. But you know, cry tears of joy and excitement. But I was proud when it's the anthem and Sunday football. And I know the intros played a part in it because they had the fanfare of the intros. And it was an amazing intro. They shot the lights. It was a big game feel. And I was like jumping up and down and I was shaking. I was excited. But, you know, not only that, but you have everybody there for the primetime cameras. I don't know if that played a part in it. Probably did, you know, but that first defensive series when Brady touched the football from first, second, and third down, it was everybody was standing up, full throat. I couldn't hear, and it was deafening. And I watched the first part of the game on TV as I recorded it. You can hear it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And how many times I could write down Al Michaels saying, and the crowd's at full throat, and the crowd's at full throat. Go through that game, and I guarantee you, look, listen for that phrase. I missed that. You want to, and they played a video in the stadium, Brandon. I don't know if you've seen it if lately, but there's a they played the video of all the fans and all that, and they played video of Johnny Unitas, and Johnny Unitas is quoted by saying, "Baltimore, the crowd, it's like an outdoor insane asylum, and people get crazy, and it's loud, and people, and we always said we actually, and it was put out there." Since I think the 2008 mark, we have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. And remember Seattle, they pride themselves on being the 12th man. I miss that here. And Sunday night, that made me feel proud and good as a fan, you know, because if everybody was there in full support. And I tailgated at Jimmy's, but I heard in lot H in my lot, the guys were raving, ranting and raving and saying it was packed. It was packed full of the Gills, where they said they got there early still, and their spot was already taken.
Wow!
So that's what I miss about Sunday football, or whatever time the game is, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, is people are chomping at the bit to get down there, and they want to get their tailgate done and get inside the game and get ready. You know, and I get it, right? People are having fun tailgating and all that, and that's part of the atmosphere, but it just sucks sometimes because everybody's latecomers, right? They're packing up tailgate late. Games are starting. They're walking in the stadium at 1:30. And I'm like, dude, games already started, guys. You know, you got to be in. Like me, I leave. If 1 o'clock game, I'm leaving no later than 12. Like, I'm like, boots on the ground. I'm going to stadium at 12. I don't care if you're broken down, mid-eating. I'm done. If I'm mid-eating, I'll eat on the way there. Like, I'm leaving. Like, I got to get in there, get set, get my routine ready, and make sure I'm in my seat ready to go. And it's refreshing to see the fan base. And obviously, winning plays a part of that, right? If we were bad as the Bengals, I know it wouldn't be like that. It would probably be a quarter of that to half of that at most. But with the way they're playing and what this season could be, I want every home game to feel like that, and that's what I miss about. That's why I love going to games. I miss that, where you're just one big family, and you hardly see. I mean, there was Patriot fans there, but I was surrounded by Ravens fans. You didn't get the enemies around you, but when the Ravens are doing bad, the tickets are sold, and I got to sit in front of and behind Steeler fans and behind Raider fans in front of and it happens. Because when the Ravens are bad, other people get those tickets, snag them up, because they want to see their team too. And it just made me feel proud of the flock and the 12th man. It brought it, and my voice obviously still raspy 2 days later, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of not having a voice, and everybody makes fun of me for it, but that's the credo of being a fan. And even my buddy Chris said too, he goes, "You better not have a voice. You better not." I said, "No, it's definitely happening. Every home game, I'm the same way. Monday comes, with no matter who the opponent is or what the stakes are, I come home and I'm like, and I can barely talk, and that's the way I love it, and it makes me feel good. And I just want to say that in general, that just to end the commentary by just saying I'm just so proud of the flock and Ravens bringing it, and of course it all helps, right? Ed Reed being shown on the Jumbotron, it's Sunday Night Football, but that same energy needs to be brought to remaining home games, because this stretch run's important, and I feel like when the Texans come here, it's an important AFC matchup that has implications that are far-reaching in January. And I feel like everybody 70,000 strong needs to be there, loud and proud, full throat. I want to break the record and make it 120 decibels in that place. I want that purple insane asylum to pop off every home game thereafter. And I hope everybody's listening that goes to the game and just passes on that message. But I think everybody gets it. It was special. And just seeing that stat come out, I'm so proud. I'm like, 117. It was loud in there, where it just was insane. And it just brought me joy. And it brought joy back to me being a fan, as just being there and just everybody full throat, as Al Michaels was saying, just going insane at the game and rooting this team hard. And with that being said, the Ravens truly flew high on Sunday Night Football. They disposed of the Patriots like it was nothing. 17-point victory, got out front 17 points, and that was the margin of victory. Led wire the wire and showed that they can play the top dogs in not only the NFL, the AFC, but the NFL in total, and they mean business. And this team, we got to be proud of them. We're riding high at 6-2, and the lowly Bengals are up next, and then that got to be taken lately. But let's go to Natty. Let's beat those kitty cats, and let's leave them winless. Baltimore Ravens, just going to Natty, and let's keep flying high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.